The title of our sermon this morning comes right out of our gospel lesson in Luke chapter 24. And I just want to do one little clause here from verse 45. And so that title is, He Opened Their Minds. We will be using the ESV today. He opened their minds. Luke 24 and verse 45. Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we pray that You would help us to be those who indeed have open minds, and especially open minds towards the Scripture, that we would know Your plan, that we would know Your sovereignty, that we would know Your salvation. Oh Lord, this is Your work. Breathe on us, Lord, as You did breathe upon those, Your followers, so many years ago. Make it so, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. He opened their minds. I wonder how many times you've heard it. I know I've heard it plenty of times. I wonder how many times you've heard it. Maybe you're someone who has even said it, depending on your mindset. But I wonder how many times you've heard it. You know, you Christians, you know what your problem is? You are just so closed-minded. Why can't you have an open mind? Why can't you be like me? Why can't you be like us and have an open mind about these things? Why are you so closed-minded? But wait a minute. Our Scripture said, He opened their minds. He opened their minds. Who knew? Did you know? Did you know that the fact is that Christians are among the most open-minded of all people? As a matter of fact, as we'll see today, on some levels, Christians are the only open-minded people. This is the subject that we will explore today, as it is the Christian who is given wisdom, the Christian who is given insight of the Holy Spirit. It is the Christians who are delivered from the delusions of the devil and the enslavement of being carnally minded. But I'm moving a little bit too fast, because there was a time when closed-mindedness marked all people. Prior to the resurrection, there was a pretty strong, steady stream of being clueless, of not understanding, of having the mind closed to the things of God. Not understanding the Scriptures, not understanding what God was doing in the world, but all of that began to change on Easter. We're still in Easter season. We're only a couple of weeks removed from it. I want us to understand that that all began to change on Easter, on Resurrection Day itself. The passage of the title of our text here is from the context of Resurrection Day. This is Easter Sunday day. Yeah, it's late in the day now. It's the evening time, but it's Resurrection Day. And it was then, on Resurrection Day, that He opened their minds. Here in Luke 24 and verse 45, Jesus is doing to the disciples the same thing that He did to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road earlier in the day, and it is the same thing that He does to all disciples. That means He does it to me and He does it to you. And He does so by way of the Holy Spirit. He does so by way of Pentecost. He opens minds, and it all began on Easter Sunday. I want us to look at that context a little bit more closely here. Picking up the passage here, beginning in verse 25. O foolish ones! See? They didn't understand too much. O foolish ones! Slow of heart! They had closed minds and hearts. Foolish ones! Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and then to enter into His glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted unto them all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. They were closed ignorant of those things. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going to go farther. We saw this some weeks ago. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is now far spent." But it's still Easter Sunday. So he went in to stay with them, and when he was sat there at the table with them, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts just burn within us?" While, as he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us, and they rose that same hour, they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And then in verse 36, we read this. As they were talking about these things, Jesus stood in the midst among them, and he said unto them, "Peace to you." Now, we don't do a lot of bringing together all these parallel passages here, but this is a clue for us. He says, "Peace to you." If we were to look over in John chapter 20 and verse 22, we would end up seeing that prior to this, he said, he comes on the scene and he says, "Peace to you." So it's the same setting. And at that very same setting, he says, "Peace to you." And he breathes on them and he says to them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." The point is this: as he comes to them on this resurrection day, on this Easter Sunday, as he says, "Peace to them," he breathes on them. They receive a down payment, a deposit of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost wasn't going to come for another 7 weeks later, but he breathes on them. They receive the Holy Spirit. So there ought not to be a surprise to us when we read about their minds being opened. Please don't miss the title. The title of our sermon in Luke 24 and verse 45, it's right out of the Bible. He opened their minds. What do we learn from this very simple title? We learn, first of all, we don't do it. He opened their minds. And so we have these debates here among Christian and unchristian, and you know, who's got a closed mind, who's got an open mind. Why can't you open your mind? Why are you so closed-minded? He opened their minds. He did it. It's all about him. It's not about us. Secondly, from our title, we learn this: it doesn't happen to everybody. He opened their minds. He opened their minds. There is a subset of humanity which has an open mind, and it comes from him. And all of this began at the resurrection. Then he opened their minds. You see, back in John's Gospel, John chapter 2 and verse 22, we read this: "When therefore he was raised from the dead," important things happened at the resurrection, prior to which their minds were closed. They didn't understand. They misunderstood. Back in John's Gospel here, "When therefore he was raised from the dead, then they remembered." And so what of that pre-resurrection steady stream of misunderstanding? In John 13 and verse 7, this is what we read: "What I am doing to you, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." They had closed minds. Their minds were open. They did not understand. They came to understand. In John 16 and verse 12, he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." In verse 13, he says, "But when the Spirit of truth comes." And again, the Spirit of truth comes in fullness on Pentecost, but it began to come for those disciples on Easter Sunday when he came into the room, said, "Peace be unto you." He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Their minds were opened. You cannot bear them now beforehand, but when the Spirit of truth comes, you will know of them. What was life like prior to God's work in it? We could look at Luke in chapter 9 in verses 44 and 45. He says this to them. Imagine this, walking along with Jesus, and Jesus says this to you. Let these words sink into your ears. Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand. This is before the resurrection. Why did they not understand? Because it was concealed from them. Their minds were closed so that they might not even perceive it. This is the world before the resurrection. All of our understanding is owing to God's grace. That's what we're driving at here. All of our understanding is owing to God's grace. Let me walk through a couple of scriptures that fill this out a little bit more. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, St. Paul says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. There are people with closed minds. They are perishing. They are devoid of the Spirit. Their mind is not open. They are perishing. In their case, you see that? In their case, the God of this world has blinded their minds, the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of this glorious gospel that Paul was preaching. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, God sends them strong delusion. The lie came from the enemy, and God says, okay, you guys want to do things that bring you pleasure and don't please me? You want to do things that are unrighteous? Okay, have at it. God sends them strong delusion because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. They love the darkness rather than the light, as John would say in John chapter 3. In Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Now, for those of you who have been around here, you've been around here long enough to know that the word cannot is not a word of permission. That would be may not. It's cannot. They don't have the ability. They don't have the capacity. They don't have the faculty. They cannot open their mind. He opened their minds. It comes from God. Same passage here. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And then it further goes on to say, they cannot please God. It's not possible. They're not capable. There's no faculty by which they can do it. That's why the proverb can say that the very plowing of the wicked is sin. You can be going about your business. You can be doing what you do. Maybe you're a plumber. Maybe you're a farmer. Maybe you're plowing the field. But the very plowing of the wicked is sin. It's not done for God's glory. You're closed off from His grace. They cannot please God. This was all predicted in Isaiah 29 in verse 10. The Lord has poured out upon you a spirit of deep sleep, and He has closed your eyes. In verse 11 it says, and the vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. You know what? We talk to people and we talk about the Bible, and for them whose minds are closed, there is like a seal. Again, in the old days, a seal would be like this kind of like waxy, rubberized stamp. You can't open it. You have the book, but it's inaccessible to you. And he goes on in this passage and he says, like, the things of God, the sovereignty of God, the plan of God, the salvation of God. He says, the vision of all these things have become to you like the words of a book that's sealed. When men give it to one who's able to read and they say, read it, he says, I cannot because it's sealed. He may have the highest IQ on the face of the earth. He cannot, because for him it's sealed. Now, we know that this book isn't physically sealed. It's still open, but it is just as much a sealed, closed book to him as if it were physically sealed. His mind is closed. His mind is closed to the Scriptures. Such is the plight of all unbelievers. Their minds are closed, even as they may protest that very declaration. For you to tell them their mind is closed, they will protest. They say, no, my mind is open. You're the one who has the closed mind. But the facts are the facts. Their minds are closed, particularly to the Scriptures. And I haven't forgotten about that clause. We're going to get to that in a minute. But what a glorious thing it is to have a mind that is open. Open to understand the Scriptures. Look again at Luke 24 and verses 45 and 46 here. He opens their minds to understand the Scriptures. And he says to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer. On the third day he would rise again from the dead." In verse 44, just prior to that, Jesus tells them the benefit of having this open mind. And this is a benefit for you and I. What it means is this, is that we can now understand the Scriptures. We can understand and we can have the ability to see that everything was about Him. Everything that Moses wrote, everything that the prophets wrote, everything that we read in the Psalms, it's all about Him, it all concerns Him, and it all is fulfilled in Him. When St. Peter, who was the beneficiary of not only on Easter Sunday having Jesus breathe on him and receive the Holy Spirit and having his mind open, on the day of Pentecost, as he came to the fullness of this, he's preaching after Pentecost in Acts in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And because his mind has been so opened, he sees the world in a new way, in a new light. He sees salvation. He sees sovereignty. He sees God's plan in the world. What is he doing with Jews? What is he doing with Gentiles? He has this tremendous boldness about his own ability to proclaim these things. And what does he say here in verse 14? He ends up saying, "You denied." A better translation, some of you may have it, New American Standard, even the NIV actually puts it this way. "You disowned the Holy One." Talk about the boldness to really see the world clearly. He says, "You disowned the Holy One and the Just One. And you desired a murderer." This is a flashback to what happened, right before Jesus was tried and crucified. They called for Barabbas to be released. And Pilate says, "What should I do with whom you call the King of the Jews? He's your king." They disowned him, and they desired a murderer. Peter was able to see this. Talk about having a closed mind on their part. Their mind was so closed. Look at what they did. They saved a destroyer, meaning Barabbas. They rescued him. They saved a destroyer, and they destroyed the Savior. Their mind was closed. They disowned God. And I submit to you that people all around you are in the same camp. If their mind is closed, they too have disowned. "I don't have anything to do with God. God doesn't have anything to do with me." But wait, it gets worse. Their mind was closed. They disowned God. And that left them. There are no vacuums in nature. If I am going to disown God, I am going to ownership up to something else. They owned Barabbas, who was a murderer. They desired, they asked for Barabbas, the murderer. And we become like that which we desire. If I end up desiring Barabbas, if I end up, quote, worshiping him, he's my cup of tea, we become like that which we worship. And so we, even today, will disown God, but there are no vacuums. We not only destroy the Savior, we want to save destroyers, and we bring them into our life. But it gets even worse, because that's what we become. They not only desired Barabbas as a murderer, they became murderers. Because the very next verse says, "You killed you're one ahead of me. You killed the author of life. Talk about Peter being able to see, this dichotomy, the irony of this. You guys destroyed the Savior and you saved a destroyer. Talk about having a closed mind. They killed the Prince of Life. They killed the author of life. Their mind was closed, but Peter's was opened. Peter's mind was open to see the irony, to see the antithesis, to see what was really going on in the world, to see the plan of God, to see God's sovereignty in all of this. Peter, indeed, in verse 18, you can get to that now. Peter was able to see God's plan here. And Peter was able to see that, you know what? DSV has this. That's why I chose the ESV here. Not only was Christ, that Christ would suffer, but it's God's Christ. God has revealed to us that His Christ, His Messiah, the one He has sent, the one who really is His Son. Peter could see God's plan, that His Christ, that God's Christ was going to suffer, and it was all a part of God's plan. Peter could also see that they, the Jews in particular, were blind. They had closed minds. They were blind. For sure, they were responsible for their action. But they were pitiably blind. Their minds were closed. So far, this message probably sounds kind of harsh. But I want us to see some real tenderness here. Peter is referring to them as blind and as murderers. They killed the author of life. They're responsible for all of that. But can you see the tenderness here in verse 17? Remember who he's addressing. These are the Jews who are just hunting down the Christians, who hunted down Jesus, who killed the author of life, the Prince of Life. And Peter says, you're blind, right? Your mind is closed. And his attitude towards them is this. And now, brothers. Brothers? Can you imagine? Brothers? Can you see the compassion there? Can you see the tenderness there? And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance. I know that you were just blind, and I know that so were the rulers. And so Peter takes this dichotomy of those with open minds and those with closed minds, but he doesn't use it to hammer them. He says, and now, brothers, I know that you did it in ignorance. And so this last point here about Peter's compassion and his humility towards unbelievers serves to introduce my three closing applications. Number one. His opening of our minds is all grace. Can we take any credit for it? No. It's all grace. His opening, God's opening of our minds is all grace. And so be humble, be compassionate. Remember what Jesus said? Luke 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them because their minds are closed. I know that's not what it says. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Peter here, when he says, and now, brothers, is really echoing and imitating Christ's humility and compassion towards unbelievers. And we ought to as well. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for their minds are closed. Number two, be patient with yourself and with others, even who are Christians. The opening of the mind is often a process. And I want us to see this, even though I didn't spend a lot of time developing this. We're talking about Easter Sunday, and that's when all this began. It came in fullness on Pentecost, 7 weeks later. Didn't happen overnight. The opening of the mind is often a process. It's true for me, it's true for you. Just like this, as a pre-Pentecostal awakening. Everything we've talked about here in the gospel session was all about pre-Pentecost. Resurrection to Pentecost, again, was 7 weeks, 50 days. The point is this, let's compare it to how we wake up. Not everybody wakes up the same way. Not everybody wakes up at the same pace. In our house, we've had some kids, and you know what? If a pin drops two rooms over, they woke up. We've had some others, we would take that smoke alarm, that fire alarm, we would hit the testing button, we'd put it right next to their ear, and there'd be nothing. Not everybody wakes up the same way. We shouldn't expect that of ourselves or of others as well. Not everybody wakes up the same way. Not everybody wakes up at the same pace. And from day to day, the fact is that we ourselves as individuals, we wake up differently. You know what? There are days when I wake up and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to run. There are other days I wake up and it's like, where am I? What day is it? I'm filled with cobwebs myself. I have cloudy thinking. Just as a sunrise might vary, you know, the sunrise itself is the same. Yet all sorts of different things affect our experience of it. Our experience of the sunrise is affected by clouds. It's affected by whether it's winter time or summertime, the time of it, the way the angle of it is. The sun is the same, yet all sorts of different things affect our experience of it. The same thing is true of the Christian faith and this opening of our minds. And so, yeah, we need to have compassion on unbelievers, but we need to be careful and patient with ourselves and others about the different experiences we have with this great gift of having an open mind. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 and 13, he says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then fullness will come. Our experience can be very similar to that. And I've been a Christian for about 30 years, and I feel like I have a whole lot more light in me now than I did that first year. I would never want to go back to that first year. And if God wills that I live for another 10 or 20 or 30 years, I hope I'm way more awake then. My mind is way more open then. St. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, he said, beloved, we are God's children now. You know what? We haven't completely arrived yet. We have all sorts of things we're messed up on. But you know what? Be patient with yourself and be patient with others. This opening of the mind is like waking up, and we all do it differently. And God got his hand in it. And for his purposes, he has that pace worked out according to his sovereignty. Beloved, we are God's children now. Yet it does not appear what we shall be. Praise be. Application point number 3. This open mind, closed mind dichotomy that I've been talking about here today is a really, really big deal. It is a big deal. Earlier in this week, I was listening in on another matter, and I came across two C.S. Lewis quotes that I think fit in here very nicely. The first one is this, and that is this, is that if the Christian faith is false, it's of no importance at all. You know, we got a world of people, open minds and closed minds. If the Christian faith is false, it is of no importance of all. But if it is true, it is of infinite importance. What it can't be, the one thing it can't be, is something that is moderately important. This idea of having an open mind and an open mind towards the scripture, It's a completely different world than having a mind that is closed to the truth of God. The one thing it can't be is a little bit important. It is either of no importance or it is of infinite importance. Having your mind open is a big, big deal. And then number two, the second quote. We can and we should believe in the risen Christ for the same reason we believe in the rising sun. We believe in the rising sun not only because we can see it, but we believe in the rising sun because by it we can see everything else. And God's will in your life is to have an open mind, so that you can be open to the scriptures, so you can see everything else. You can see the plan of God. You can see the irony in the world. You can see the antithesis in the world. You can see God's sovereignty in the world. You can see God's salvation being worked out in the world. By it, we see everything else. And so, brothers and sisters, thank God for the opening of our minds. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this little clause we looked at, wherein we learned that he opened their minds. What grace! A grace of your choosing. Father, help us to draw the lessons from this that have been articulated here today and perhaps several others by way of your Spirit that you bring our way. Help us, Lord, to be those who are compassionate with those who are unbelievers. Father, help us to be those who are patient with ourselves and with others. And Father, help us to appreciate how of infinite value and importance there is in you opening our minds. We give you thanks and praise for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.